All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Matthew chapter 4 is where we are going to read. Sam is going to read our main verse, which is Matthew 4, 18 through 20. Matthew 4, 18 through 20. Kenny, Mark 3, 14. Lem, 2 Corinthians 3, 18. And then I have number of verses, Preston, John 11, 7. John Kern, you can get John 11, 15. Will, Mark 1, 38. And David, Mark 4, 35. Colby, 1 Samuel 3, 9 and 10. And then, where are we at? Steve Lynch is going to get Matthew 4, 19. And Miles, Matthew 4, 20. Okay. In discipleship, it's important you get foundations right. If you are, if you want to do something for God, and in the text we're going to read gives us a foundation where Jesus gives a command, and that is, you are to follow me. This is the essence of being a disciple. You may do many things. The essence of being a disciple is following Jesus, and that's what we're going to look at today. Following Jesus, Matthew 4, 18 through 20.
And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him.
Okay, following Jesus. Number one is our call is to Jesus. That is absolutely foundational. Many disciples, they start off with incorrect ideas of what it means to be a disciple. They think their calling is ultimately to a position or a job or a title. I get, we have people contact us because of mailing list. You know, my wife takes care of the mailing list information. And we'll get a guy, he's been out for a month, and he'll call, and this is Pastor Bubba Smith calling. You know, he has no people, but he's got a title. If you think that being a pastor is a title, that is going to be very, very unsatisfying. Or you get guys, they are called, they have a title, but they let their job for God consume their relationship with God. They don't have time to pray or read their Bible because they're doing so many things for God, or ultimately they can let it consume their time or their marriage or their family. So it's not a title. It's not a job. Others think it's a calling to people. I'm going to help people, get people saved, preach to people. That is true, but that's not your calling first. And if you approach it as my job is to people, inevitably what happens is guys become very frustrated because people will not give them the response that they expect. I thought I would be respected. I thought I'd be getting thank yous and appreciation. But they're either disappointed by the results, not much is happening, so therefore it's not worth it. Or the responses, people are mean. People said bad things about me, so therefore, but you will come to those conclusions if you think your call is to people. Our text gives your number one task. You want to be a disciple? Your number one task in life, your calling, is relationship with Jesus. Verse 19, Jesus said, "Follow me." Everything starts right here, your relationship with God. What is your job in all of life before anything else? To spend time with Jesus. How do you do that? Prayer and reading your Bible. That is the foundation. Mark 3, 14.
Then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach.
Okay, your translation says accompany him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him. Okay, he chooses them. What's your job? Be with Jesus and then send him out to preach. Notice the sending to preach does not come first. It is being with Jesus. Everything in life flows out of your relationship with God. Okay? It is in prayer and the reading of your word. That is how God can speak to you and direct you. I cannot tell you how many times in prayer God has quickened me, or reading my Bible, God has quickened me in a certain direction. That is because that's my job. I often tell people, I do Q&As all over the world, that I often tell them by the time I've gotten at 6 a.m. to have it, I say, I have already read my Bible. I've already spent time with Jesus. That's the foundation. It's not what I do, a title, even preaching or anything else. It is in the Word of God and prayer. You gain wisdom. Your only hope of having wisdom in life is the Word of God. So you've got to be taking it in. You've got to be comparing your actions to the Word of God. That's where you gain wisdom. You get specific direction. So God may speak to you. That's the first thing. It might be encouragement, might be a rebuke, a challenge, but direction. I've had in prayer God speaking to me, do this, do that. It is relationship. So everything flows out. That's why in Acts 6, when they said there's a need, we need the pastors. Hey, there's little old ladies that are not being fed. You need to take care of that. And they said, that doesn't make sense. It does not make sense that we meet a need and neglect our main purpose, which is we're going to spend time in prayer and the word. Because that is what it means to be a disciple. You tell me I can preach the birds off a wire. If you neglect your relationship with God, you're not a disciple. I am so talented in a band, drama. I can do all this for God. I've got a Bible study. You neglect your relationship. So always remember, is what you're doing right now, is it taking the place? Because one of the problems is we're all time pressured, right? Oh man, I didn't have time to read my Bible because I had so much to do for God. You missed the point of being a disciple. Or one of the things is guys have never learned consistency. It's boom or bust. I read 5 chapters, but then I went 3 weeks without reading any. I went to prayer 2 days in a row and then I didn't go for a month. Consistency. If you have to, start small. I've shown you my Bible reading program. My foundational for me is 12 chapters a day. I'm a fast reader. I'm not trying to put that on anybody else. You need to read every single day. Don't let a single day go by. Don't let a day go by without prayer, because your call is to Jesus. If you do that, the Bible says the result in following Jesus, that's how you become changed. Disciples, in the Jewish sense of the word, it was very common that they would become like their rabbi, like their teacher. The story I read the other day, and he said he saw a bunch of six Orthodox disciples in a row, and he said he saw them. They all had their hands behind their back, and they were young men, but they were all bent over, and the guy's watching them walk in a line. He said, that's really weird, until he saw their rabbi, and their rabbi was an old man bent over. So in spending time, they wanted to become like him. Now, if that was true today, you all need to shave your head, big bald spot. So what we want, if you're following Jesus, you should become like Jesus. And the only way you can become like Jesus is spend time with him. 2 Corinthians 3:18.
But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror of the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Beholding, we are transformed. That is why we don't require perfection before we send guys out. You can have flaws and still be sent out if you have a consistent relationship with Jesus. Because then there is hope that you can change. If you neglect your relationship with Jesus, You're a dead man. Or you'll never change. My job, I deal with old pastors who have never changed. That's a bummer. Okay? Second calling. So our call is to Jesus. Secondly, our call is to follow. More mistakes disciples make over time. They assume that God's job is to bless everything they want to do. All right, God, now I pray, bless what I have already decided. And they think that is God's job, but to do nothing but bless what I already have decided I want. Or on the other hand, you get guys that they get stuck in certain places. It's a place of comfort, or maybe they're just in a rut. And they expect God to bless where they're at, whether that is geographically a physical location, or whether the level of their ministry or whatever, they expect God to bless it simply because I am here. But Jesus says, you want to be a disciple, follow me. Verse 19. That is a direction word. In this, where are you going to go in life? Wherever Jesus says. We follow Jesus. So what that means is that Jesus must be the one directing our lives. If you read in discipleship in the four Gospels, you will read various times that Jesus gave literal direction. Let's read some of these. John 11, verse 7.
And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judah.
Okay, let us go. That's direction. It's time to go somewhere else. John 11, 15.
And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him.
Okay, let us go to Lazarus. Mark 1:38.
Let's go to the neighboring town, he replied, so I can preach there too, because that is why I came.
Okay, let's go to neighboring towns, or one translation says to other cities in Mark 4:35.
On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side.
Let's cross over to the other side. Okay, if you read, and that's just four of them, if you read each time Jesus said, let us go, there, of course, were specific things he wanted to happen there. He wanted Lazarus to be raised from the dead. He wanted the demoniac to be set free. He wanted the gospel to be preached in new cities. Those are the tasks. But think, before the task comes is the direction. Let us go. So the point is, you are learning to follow direction. I was listening to the Bible on the way here, and it was Numbers 35, and Numbers 35 gives the 40 years journey. And from Kadesh Barnea they went to. And from, it just talks about direction. The cloud moved. It's time to move. In following God, in discipleship must involve learning to follow Jesus' direction. Yes, you must learn people skills, fruitfulness and preaching, and there's so many things you got to learn. One skill you must have, one heart issue you must have is, what is your job? Follow Jesus. That means you need to be seeking and listening for God's voice of direction. 1 Samuel 3, 9 and 10.
So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening.
Okay, this is Samuel as a young boy, so we would apply that not to young boys, but to young disciples. You're young in your walk with God and learning to be a disciple. What is it that Samuel needed? He needed to be able to hear the voice of God. That's what you need. You have to learn that. You have to seek it. You have to literally say, God, speak to me. Help me to know what's God's voice. Excellent question has been asked. How do I know it's not just me? How do I know that's God? Like Samuel, you're going to learn that. You're going to ask God, give me wisdom. You're going to bounce it by a pastor. He's going to give you direct, so that You learn the voice of God in direction. You follow direction, and then once you are learning to hear the voice of God, of course, you have to obey it. You have to learn to do what he says. Now, God may speak to you in giving. That might be in a conference or somewhere, God just speaks an amount of money. But it's more than just paying a bill or raising money for the church. You're learning the voice of God. God spoke to me. That's why we hear so many testimonies of God spoke to me, I gave, and then God did a miracle. It wasn't just the giving of the money. It was learning the voice of God. If you learn that, you can apply it to anything else. You feel impressed. Someone's on my mind. I haven't spoken to them in ages. They're all, you know what? I need to call them up. Or I need to go visit them. Hey, there's somebody I feel I should go witness to that person. That's the voice of God. You're learning it. Praying for the sick. I feel that I should pray for that guy. Gifts of the Spirit, stepping out. I feel I should fast. I don't care what it is. You need to have as a part of your life, your job is to seek, to hear, and obey the voice of God. And that should then become the permanent posture of your life. That you will never stop following Jesus. I've now been pastoring for 40 years. I've been saved since 1978. I am still a follower of Jesus. I am still, many of you hear me. Someone asked yesterday morning, Pastor, I hear you pray in the mornings. Waken my ear, open my eyes, because I am a Jesus follower. Speak to me. If you speak to me, God, I'll do what you say. But I need to know. I need to know when. I need to know who. I need to know how. There are so many things. Your job, you're called to Jesus, number one. Number two, you're called to follow Jesus. That's direction. Final thought is our call is to his purpose. This is where most guys focus discipleship on the purpose part. Verse 19, Matthew 4, 19.
Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people.
Send you out to fish for people. I will make you fishers of men. All right. If you're going to be a disciple, your life is to impact other people. So if you think being a disciple is, I just learn interesting facts about the Nephilim, I know all this Bible knowledge. No, your job is to impact other people. Literally, fishing for men is getting people saved and helping be a part of their life changing in serving God. That should happen right now. Your purpose in God. Anything I feel called to Timbuktu one day, maybe in the body right now is where you need to learn that. The greatest skill you can learn is how to be fruitful in the body now. Because that will give you confidence. It will give you skills. Literally, you learn lessons of how to work with people. You do all that. So that's impacting people now. And then the call to preach, it may be that God may call you, I want you to preach the gospel somewhere else. You have to settle that. Jesus said, follow me. It is not my job to call you. I call no man to the ministry. That is why I don't just approach God. Bro, I don't know if you know, you're called. That's not my business. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Jesus. If you come to me and you say, God told me, I'll work with that. Absolutely. You have to settle that with God. But listen to me right here. As I said, we often focus on, that fishing for men thing. That's being a disciple. You got to get the order correct. You can only fish for men if you are called to Jesus and called to follow. If you start in discipleship, I'm going to impact people's lives, but you neglect your relationship with God and you don't know the voice of God and won't obey when he speaks, then the fishing is not likely to go very well. You have to get that right. And then, of course, once God speaks to you about purpose, you must respond. Matthew 4:20.
And they left their nets at once and followed
him. Okay, they left their nets. I like that. At once. Immediately. They left their nets and followed him. Priority. purpose has to come ahead of other options. I like that when Anthony Cascio, after resisting God for years, and finally he came, and yet again he would come every conference, Pastor Rob Sturton conference, it would last a week or so, and finally he came once again, Pastor Rob Sturton, he goes, I don't know if you realize this, but normally I feel stirred in conference and it doesn't last. I was like, no, imagine that. And he said, Pastor, how do I stop that? He goes, honestly, I like making money more than doing God's will. So what? And I said, Anthony, ask God to give you a love for his will. So he did. He said, immediately that day, a deal came through to purchase a property and to do all that, that very day. And thank God, he said, that cannot be an accident, knowing this property is going to consume me. And so he made a decision that day that he prayed and said, God, give me a love for your will. He said, I think that's from hell. And it was actually something he had been waiting a long time on. And he said, no, thank you. Okay, that's a practical. I don't know how it will work out in your life, the obedience. In your life, once you settle what your job is to do, every decision has to line up with your calling in God. But get it right. To Jesus, that's your number one job. Called to follow, and then you're called to purpose. Okay, that's all I have. So questions, something you want to ask. David?
How do you know you're doing all those things in the right order?
Well, in the first place, your relationship with God has to be daily. That would be step one. If you don't have a consistent relationship with God, then you're out of order. That's the key. I don't care if you're starting with one chapter a day and praying for 10 minutes. That's fine, as long as it is daily. You can always go up, right? But it's consistency is the key. Good. Somebody else? Something else you want to ask? Thinking. Steve?
I don't know if this has ever, I kind of feel like with you, like God speaks to you and you just do it, And the other day, I felt like I was stirring the fast for 3 days. And I gave in after one day, and then there kind of begins this little mind battle. How do you, how do you kind of decipher through that and not like beat the heck out of yourself and just be like,
Number one, in anything you're doing that is that has guilt attached to it is not healthy.
Right.
Guilt is that doesn't come from God unless it's sin, so that you repent. If people who feel guilt, I know people that they, in witnessing, they can't even get grocery shopping done because they feel guilty. Oh my God, there was somebody in aisle 7. I didn't witness them. I have to, you're there to get lettuce. Just get lettuce, okay? So it's guilt. That's the key, Steve, is that God will inspire you not to make you feel guilty. So if you feel like I have to, or I'm a worm because I don't, then that's generally not God. I think that would be a good rule of thumb in general. Yeah. Good.
That's a good.
Yep.
In learning God's voice, you might, learn his voice in certain areas, but would you say, is it consistent or is it continually we're learning, different aspects of it? Because sometimes...
Well, yeah, I'm sure that you will learn greater aspects, but you have to learn, and it's an excellent question when people ask me, how do I know it's not just me? How do I know it's not just pizza? How do I know that's God? So you got to learn that. That's what Samuel did. He made the mistake. He heard it twice, what do you want? I don't want anything. Oh, wait, you need to ask God, say, God, speak to me. So number one, God will not speak to you things that are huge at first. I don't think that God will just say today he's going to give you your entire life purpose and some radical thing. if you haven't learned small things. Because first the blade, then the ear, then the corn in the ear. It's progression, normally. Now, God can do, I'm not God, if he wanted to, he could. But my point is, you wouldn't know whether that big purpose was truly God unless you had first learned in smaller things. So, in the first place is, I think, there are things that are not life-changing. That it's a matter of, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't know, but I'm going to do that because I'm learning. Number two is, that's why you have a pastor. I've had people that come, I feel I should give my car away. Okay, but then you don't have a car. I don't think that's God. I think you have a good heart. I think you're stirred. That's good, but no. So you're learning. A pastor can help guide you to know the difference in things that are, they may affect your whole life. Certain things, go witness that guy. The answer, default, yes. Pray for them, yes. But then you get into big ticket items that this will change my, honey, God, I feel I should give away all of our savings. Okay, but that has other ramifications. So we need to make sure you get someone who loves you to help you. And then you learn that. But the main thing that was what yesterday's questions were about is the posture of my life is I do not assume that I know everything. So therefore, every day I am seeking God. Give me wisdom. Speak to me. Show me your will and I'll do it. If you tell me, I'll do it. And then there'll be tests along the way. Yeah? Does that answer your question? Okay. Good. Steve?
A little while ago, I felt like God was waking, it seemed like God was waking me up and kind of showing me stuff that was going on with the business or whatever. And just felt the presence of God when I was hearing this, and it did confirm that it was God. But then other times, you know, you're thinking about the stuff, you're waking up and you're worried. How much do you base on if it's God just by the presence of God?
I can't say that, you know, out of 100 decisions that I make in life, I can't say that there are very many of them that I felt the presence of God.
Okay.
But I have just learned the voice of God where, yes, that's what I'm going to do. I just feel a release or just a confirmation. But, you know, there are some people like, yes, and the glory of the Lord filled and there was a glow and the lights were off, but the room was glowing. I'm not against that. I just, I don't experience that.
Okay.
Currently, Steve?
From the original call going over this morning, the call to fish men, they were active, and then after probably to what they saw, I guess what I'm asking, what they saw in the resurrection, the crucifixion, and then later on, Haiti says, "I'm going fishing," and they all go with it. Why is it that sometimes, from the initial spurt to the lull or the call or whatever that purpose is, would it be fear? Would it be disappointment?
No, that would be every person has to work that out.
Right.
For one person, it's fear. Yeah, another person is just disappointment based on false ideas. Yeah, just personal struggles. The main thing, and those stories are in there, Steve, to give us encouragement. I don't know anybody. Life is not a perfect ascent to the heights. Most of life is course correction. So, you know, you heard me say it. Any of you driving here, none of you followed perfectly in between the lines. Right? We don't drive that way. It's minor course corrections. You're doing that. Life is like that, course corrections. And some are radical. Ooh, the good thing is you can get back on track. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So those stories are in there to give us hope. So I can give this lesson, but I know that everyone who has this lesson is going to make some mistakes and get their relationship with God consumed. They're going to forget to follow Jesus. They're going to get stuck sometimes or not want to obey. You know, that's life. But God is committed to the long term. So he'll help us. Good. Somebody else. Thinking.
Pastor?
Yep.
Let's say you are consistent in praying and reading your Bible every day, but there's a struggle to for the will of God, like a priority, like it's easily to get sidetracked. Is
sure.
that a test of your health, of your relationship with God, or is it an indicator, I guess I'm trying to say, of your health?
Yeah, I think so, in some ways, but the answer is to finally do it. You know, that may be that you have, you know, there's a lot of things that we fail the test. That doesn't mean we're doomed. So ultimately you got to do it. Then everything will change, yeah.
So it's just like asking for, like Anthony asking for a hunger for the will.
Yes.
I do love praying and reading. It's just that.
The consuming thing, yeah. Yeah, so whatever consume, you got to ask God to give you such a love that it pushes out your love or whatever it is that distracts you. Yeah, sure. And then you have to be ruthless as well. The priorities are there are things that you can't do, and that can be simple. You know, I've told the story of that very first computer I got, and when I bought a used computer, and when the guy handed it to me, he goes, "You know what's really cool about these computer things? Some of you can't relate; they didn't used to exist." And he said, "This has video games on it." And I knew me. I said, "That's not good, because I will be tempted. I will come to church and say, folks, I don't have a sermon, but I got high score." So the very first thing, knowing me, I deleted every video game. I don't need distraction. So you have to know what is it that distracts you. So I'm going to have to take some steps to ensure that I don't get sidetracked as well. But it has to be a love. And that's the main thing is you want to, yes, you need to get out of bed and pray. And yes, you need to read your Bible. I don't care if you're forcing yourself. I got to do it. But what you want to do is you want to get to where it is a love. And that's especially the Bible. You've got to love God's word. To me, it is the most exciting book in the whole world. And I love doing it. So, yes, I do read the Bible every day, but not because it's like, come on, Greg, got to do this. Yeah. Yep. Good. Very good.
Just in Bible reading, I was curious, how important do you think it is to read through the commentary and really like study out as you're going? Because like my wife, she loves to do that, but I'll just kind of read. Just curious what your thoughts are on that.
Your first priority is to read the Bible. That's above all else. Commentary is if you have time. And that, you know, it's number one is obviously if there is something you don't know, like what the heck does that mean? What I do is I make notes. I need to come back and look at that when I have time. And if I have time, then there's various ways. So I read my Bible and then I read some certain devotional books. That's one way. At other times I have read my Bible and then I go back over what I read, looking in a study Bible at the notes. But I would never let the study notes or devotionals or anything else take the place of the Bible. Right? It doesn't make sense. I started reading half a chapter and then I got caught up in, man, what those tense Greek verbs meant. And I didn't read any more of the Bible, then that doesn't make sense. Bible first. But it's whatever works for you. I'm telling you what works for me. So there are people that they may slowly do that, and that it works for them. I have no argument with it, as long as they're reading their Bible. Yeah. Good. Yep.
So is it a good prayer to ask to be consumed by prayer and consumed by God's word?
Yeah, but consumed is really anybody who's consumed with something is just they're in love with it, right? So yeah. I tend to say, just God, give me a love for it. If you're in love with something, you're consumed. And yeah. So it's not a matter of you say these words, any other words are from hell. They're describing the same thing. The consuming is probably a result of love. the love is kind of the cause or the source. Good. What do you think, Lem?
There are times where you were praying, just God, speak to me, I need help in this area, and things weren't the clearest. What did you resort to in those times? Was it just...
Are we talking about to make a decision?
To make a decision.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are many times that things are not clear to me. So if things are not clear, that means it's not time to do it yet. That's the answer. So anytime you don't have a clarity, then that means that other things have to work out for it to be the right time. Yeah. And then you discover that God gives clarity at the right moment or knowing what to do. Yes. Yeah. So the answer is keep praying. Because God will. And that's what, you know, I was telling in some of the questions this week on speaking in tongues, that's the, if you're faced with something you don't know, the Bible says the Spirit can make intercession for you in words that can't be uttered. And I tell how a few years ago I had a vexing problem. And so that was when Jerry Solberg was dying. My friends, I'm driving back and forth between Wilhoy, it's 45 minutes there one way. So all I did while thinking of the problem that I wanted to deal with, I spoke in tongues the whole time. And what I'm doing is I'm praying in the Spirit. And then it was the following week, is it dropped in my spirit. I knew what to do. Clarity came. Yeah. And then other times there are things, it's just God wants you to keep seeking until the right time. It's just that things have to fall in place for there to be a release or clarity. Good. What do you think? Yep.
So if I got that right, when God speaks to you, it's clear. That would be indication that's God. But if it's struggling, is that God speaking, or is it something you're just working out?
Well, in the first place, is you have to, again, you have to start small in learning clarity. Like Samuel. Samuel was hearing, but it wasn't clear. Is that God or is that you? So he needed to, you got to learn that. That's first of all. Then what he's saying is you may have a big ticket item in life that just, I don't know what to do or how to do it or whatever. Then you're praying until there's a release or confirmation or, you know, many different things in that way. So don't think, Kenny, that it is getting to the point where every time it is God speaking, audible voice, the blue shirt that with checks, that guy is the one on the left, four rows back. It's not like that. Is often it's just because this is the question yesterday morning. What I was saying to guys, because I give so much effort to hearing the voice of God, now I'm at the point where things that just pop into my head, I have learned often are God. It's just a thought. And I use the example of when Thursday, it's almost, you know, it's 11 something, and Juan Fifield caught me off guard and said, suddenly announced he wanted to leave Santa Fe and go to Colombia or wherever he was going, Peru at that time. And so that wasn't on my bingo card. We were already set, but I felt that we should. So then I called Jesse and said, Fifield wants to go. Who are we going to put in Santa Fe? I don't know. I'm thinking, man, we don't know. And then I thought, Nate Rush. Why don't you ask Nate? And when he called Nate said, I was there months ago or last year, whenever it was, for a wedding or something. And standing at the back, God spoke to me. You're gonna pastor Santa Fe. Right? So that's what I learned, that now, because I've spent decades, often things that pop into my head are actually God. I don't claim that you will be to where every thought pops in your head. You got to learn that. That's my point. So don't feel bad because you're not getting clarity. Yes, no, blue shirt, light, left turn. That's okay. You don't have to have that right now. But just make in your life, I want direction. And I want to know the voice of God. And I was a very young disciple. The moment I was called, then shortly after, I made a deal with God. I'll do anything you ever tell me to do. The answer default is yes. And I've tried to live that out through the years so that now a thought pops into my head, I know that's probably God, right? Yeah. Now, there are other times thoughts pop in my head and it's tormenting, it's from hell, it was pizza, I got gas, you know, there's different things. That, not that I ever do, Chris. Don't. The seventh grader. Yeah.
Did you say in the beginning of the day, if you're going to sit down and read your Bible, that it would make, or if pray, would it make sense to do one before the other? Like, if you were going to read your Bible first, is that going to prepare your heart better for prayer, or what do you think?
No, it doesn't matter to me. Is in my normal pattern, John, I get up early. If I'm not getting a lot of calls, various things, I would tend to at least start my Bible reading before I ever come to prayer. And often I've got it all done and all my devotional. So, but then there are other days I get a lot of calls. It's just not possible. It's time for prayer. I'm going to pray. Yeah. So don't get hung up on it's not one or we got to do both. So fit it in. And that's you got to work out what work. I am an early riser, so reading the Bible early makes more sense for me. If you're not, maybe it's lunchtime. When I started reading my Bible consistently was I was called and I knew I needed to read my Bible. And in Australia, they're very unionized and strict. We weren't in a union, but just the worker conditions. You get 1 hour for lunch. And it dawned on me, it doesn't take an hour to eat a peanut butter sandwich. I got a lot of time. So what am I going to do? You know what? This would be an excellent time to read my Bible. I wasn't great at getting up early, so I read my Bible on my lunch hour every day. I got lunch every day, so I might as well read my Bible every day, right? And so whatever works for you. Night, some people, they're good at night. Not me, man. If I tried to read my Bible at night, I'd be asleep. Wouldn't work. Very good.
Pastor Greg, I've heard you say that in pioneering you got to be a button pusher or somebody that does that. How much of it is that tied to or correlation between hearing from God, or is it a personality thing?
No.
It's just a skill.
Yeah, it's just a heart that I want to try anything. The point of being a button pusher, the opposite is a guy who's, yes, we have an event coming up in 3 months and I will plan carefully and do all that and then it rained and you lost that event. But that's okay in the next 3 months. So they're not actually doing anything. They're event oriented. So a button pusher is, I need people to get saved. I went out on support. My salary was cut every 90 days, 25%. That'll motivate you. Because if I don't get people saved, I'm not going to eat. So I don't have the luxury of I'm going to wait in 3 months, my salary just get chopped 25%. So by golly, my tail better be wagging up $10 bills. So I was like, I'm going to go witness. It's not outreach time. I'm going to go find somebody and witness to them. You know, yeah, that's button pushing. So the outreach didn't work. How about I personally witness? The personal witness didn't work. I'm going to street preach. Street preaching didn't work. You're doing anything possible in that way. But again, if you're a button pusher and you're neglecting following Jesus, it won't work. That's your first call. Good. That was a very good question, guys. Okay. I leave this with you.